This is Greg Corumbus of Radio America reporting for WorldNet Daily. Time now for a look at Tuesday's news, and we begin with the Obama administration's latest response to the ongoing environmental disaster in the Gulf of Mexico. Already, the disaster from the BP oil rig, which exploded on April 20th, is now more than 40 days in, and several different attempts to shut off the flow of oil have failed and failed miserably. Today, President Obama in the White House Rose Garden says the effort to stop the leak and contain the already widespread damage continues and intensifies as she speaks. The president also says another major goal is to make sure something like this never happens again. And that means taking a close look at existing government policy.
We have an obligation to investigate what went wrong and to determine what reforms are needed so that we never have to experience a crisis like this again. If the laws on our books are insufficient to prevent such a spill, the laws must change. If oversight was inadequate to enforce these laws, oversight has to be reformed.
And the president says there will be a very close look as to whether any laws were broken.
If our laws were broken, leading to this death and destruction, my solemn pledge is that we will bring those responsible to justice on behalf of the victims of this catastrophe and the people of the Gulf region.
And that effort is already underway as Attorney General Eric Holder, who visited the Gulf Coast today, says he is launching a criminal investigation, most likely into the practices of BP prior to the explosion on April 20th and potentially some of the actions taken subsequently. The oil spill crisis has been one of the most difficult of the Obama administration, and he's definitely taken a hit not only from Republicans, but also the Democrats, the press, and even the people who are being asked to evaluate his performance. In the latest public opinion polls, one poll shows less than 40% of Americans approve of the way the president has handled the current crisis in the Gulf of Mexico. For more analysis on the politics of this for President Obama, please check out my interview at worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org with Richard Benedetto, former longtime White House correspondent for USA Today. On to the Middle East now, as Israel is once again enduring a barrage of international criticism, this time over the incident off the coast of Gaza on Monday, when Israeli commandos raided a so-called humanitarian ship, part of a humanitarian flotilla, that tried to go past the Israeli blockade off the coast of Gaza. A number of people on the vessel were killed, hundreds taken into custody. Also, several Israeli commandos killed as well, since they were attacked as they boarded the vessel. Something that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu made sure to stress as he talked to reporters on Tuesday.
They deliberately attacked the first soldiers and second officers. They were mobbed. They were clubbed. They were beaten, stabbed. There was even a report of gunfire. And our soldiers had to defend themselves, defend their lives, or they would have been killed.
Michael Oren is the Israeli ambassador to the United States, and he appeared with MSNBC's Andrea Mitchell on Tuesday. Mitchell asked the ambassador whether a blockade off the coast of Gaza is even necessary. The response from the ambassador, yes.
This flotilla is bound for Gaza. Gaza is ruled by a sinister terrorist regime called Hamas, which by its covenant and by its deeds is sworn to destroy the state of Israel. They have fired over 7,000 rockets at our civilians. And under international law and by any rational criteria, Israel has a right to defend its citizens from that type of attack.
For more on the history of this blockade, as well as the questionable nature of this humanitarian flotilla, please listen to my interview with Dr. Waleed Faris of the Foundation for the Defense of Democracies. That interview can be found at worldnetdaily.com or dateline.radioamerica.org. While you're there, please check out my interview also with Hans von Spakovsky of the Heritage Foundation, who looks at the legal questions involved in the ongoing probe of whether or not Joe Sestak was improperly offered a job in the Obama administration if he would have dropped out of the Pennsylvania Senate primary last year. Does it matter that the job promised to Sestak would not have even carried a salary? And does it even matter whether or not the man who offered him the job didn't even work for the government? That, of course, is President Bill Clinton. Mr. von Spakovsky answers both of those questions and many more. Elsewhere in the war on terrorism today, al-Qaeda confirming that its number three man has been killed. This is the latest number three al-Qaeda figure to be killed ever since the beginning of the war on terror following the 9/11 attacks. A number have been taken out or captured over the years. However, the top two figures, Osama bin Laden and Ayman al-Zawahiri, remain at the head of the organization. And one final political story today, shocking many people in both parties. One of the most dynamic Democratic marriages over the past four decades is coming to a close. Al and Tipper Gore announcing via email today that they have mutually decided to separate after 40 years of marriage. Close friends tell reporters that they don't believe any infidelities are involved here, but over the past several years, the two have grown increasingly apart and have led distinctly separate lives. That's a look at Tuesday's headlines. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America, reporting for WorldNet Daily.